God's Song of Deliverance is your song too. Dive into the Book of Exodus with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Reed Lessing. Find out more about Deliver Us at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
It is rare that the Lord appears in the Old Testament. He does it on occasion because it's mentioned so often in the Old Testament. It sounds like he was appearing every day, but he wasn't. He appeared at crucial times. And in the case of Gideon, this otherwise unknown man, the Lord appears at the end of a long oppression by the Midianites in order to deliver them. And he stacks the cards against himself so that when finally they do have their victory over the Midianites, well, the Lord gets all the credit. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to teach a Sunday school lesson on Gideon's defeat of Midian in Judges chapter 7. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
How did the Midianites oppress the children of Israel?
Well, the Midianites were actually sent by God. This is found in the book of Judges, and you have a very interesting system of judges. The people of God were worshiping God, then they would fall away and follow after other idols, and then God would send them a people that would oppress them. Then they would pray to God, then God would send them a judge to relieve them, and in this case, Gideon relieved them for 40 years, after which they, after the death of Gideon, fell again into idolatry, and so another problem had to occur with other nations coming against them. The Midianites were actually sent by God. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, the Lord gave them, that is Israel, into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Now, what the Midianites would do, they would actually encamp against Israel and take the produce of the land that the farmers were growing. They would leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. And after 7 years of this, Israel was brought very low, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. And so that's how the Sunday school lesson begins.
How does God respond to Israel's cry for help in this case?
In this case, he does what he does today. People are crying out for help because they understand the law, whether they've heard it or not, that they are sinners and they are not able to do what they want to do. And so they are in grief. And those who have religions pretend that they have a God that will let them be saved because of their works, which is ridiculous, because Christianity teaches we're saved by the works of Jesus Christ. So what God does today, he enables men to become pastors in the church, women deaconesses, Sunday school teachers, etc., to teach the word of God to the congregations. Now, this is what God did with Israel. It's very, very important that we look at verse 11 of chapter 6, even though the Sunday school lesson doesn't really begin till chapter 7. Verse 11 says, now the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Gideon, who was at the wine press, beating out wheat to hide it from the Midianites. And he's referred to as the angel of the Lord. And normally when you hear not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord, this in the Old Testament is usually referring to the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, before his incarnation. And guess what? There's no doubt about it, because in verse 14, the angel of the Lord, it is said, and the Lord turned to him and said, and he gave Gideon instructions that he would save Israel from the land of the Midians. And boy, there's no doubt that we saw here that Gideon recognized that this was God himself. And the Lord said to him, behold, I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And Gideon says then in verse 22, when he perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And he thought he would die, like Isaiah thought in chapter 6, when he saw a vision of God, and he thought he would die because human beings cannot see God while they are here on earth. But the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, peace be to you, do not fear, you shall not die. And then Gideon builds an altar to the Lord and calls it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezerites. And when Gideon says, the Lord is here, the word Lord is all capitalized, which means that Gideon uses the word of God, Yahweh, after he has seen the angel of the Lord, who is none other than Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. So this is how God is beginning to prepare Israel and replying to their cry for help by going to an individual who will lead them against the Midianites.
So why did Gideon at first doubt the Lord's promise?
Well, as it said before, the Midianites would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. In fact, both they and their camels could not be counted when they attacked Israel, and they therefore laid waste the land as they came in. Gideon kind of reminds us of Moses on Mount Sinai. Lord says, I'm going to send you Moses, and you'll release the people of Israel from Egypt. Who am I to do that? I'm not that good a speaker. And so the Lord sends his brother along with him. But Moses soon learns that he is not going to be the one defeating Pharaoh any more than Gideon is going to be the one defeating the Midianites without the help of God. And that's why it's very important that the Sunday school literature indicates Bible verses that God will help us through all our problems. And here, he's really going to do it in a miraculous way.
So you mentioned he built an altar. What is the purpose of building that altar for Gideon?
In building the altar, the Lord had told him, take your father's bull, that's verse 25, chapter 6, and the second bull, 7 years old, and you're to pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, that was worship, and instead build an altar to the Lord our God on the top of the stronghold with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the destructive Asherah that you shall cut down. And Gideon did what he was to do, because a way of worshiping the Lord, as you see not only in the tabernacle but in the temple, was to sacrifice animals as a reminder to them that the shedding of blood was going to be necessary for the salvation of mankind. And therefore, when in the temple these bulls were sacrificed and other animals, they were actually put to death outside of Jerusalem, just as Jesus was put to death on Mount Calvary outside of Jerusalem. So this food, the altar, etc., was always looking forward to the promise that God had given to Adam and Eve and to Abraham, that a Savior would come through the loins of Isaac, and the people would therefore be saved.
So what command did the Lord give Gideon regarding the altars of idols?
In regard to the altar of idols, he was to tear them down. But he decided to do it with 10 men, but because he was afraid of his own family, remember they had put up a statue to Baal, they did it at night. And when the men of the town rose early in the morning, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the worship of the Asherah was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that Gideon had built. So they said, "Who did this thing?" And when they found out that it was Gideon, the son of Josh, they decided he must be put to death. And so that's what they went to do. "Bring your son," they said to Joash, "that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal." But Joash said to all who stood against him and Gideon, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Because whoever contends for Baal, he shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god," referring to Baal, "let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down." And from that day on, people began to refer to Gideon as Jerubbaal. That is to say, the name now meant, "Let Baal contend against him, because he has broken down his altar." And so that's why Gideon built a new altar for the true Lord of God and had destroyed the altars of the idols.
What sign did Gideon ask for?
Well, in verse 36, chapter 6 again, "If you will save Israel by my hand, I'm laying out a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And in the morning, if there is dew on the fleece alone, and the rest of the ground is dry, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised." And guess what? In the morning that was so. The fleece had dew on it, none of the ground did. But then he said, "Let not your anger burn against me," talking to God, Gideon was. "Let me speak just once more. Once more, I'll put the fleece on the ground, but let it be dry only, and on the ground let there be dew." And sure enough, God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. So Gideon realized that God keeps his promises, and he was ready to do whatever God told him to do.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll find out what God did tell him to do on the other side of the break. God's song of deliverance is your song too. Dive into the book of Exodus with the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Reed Lessing. Find out more about Deliver Us at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, began a new academic year today. Concordia Theological Seminary forms servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. For more information on studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess, visit ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, what did God command Gideon to do in order to prepare for battle?
Well, there were many, many people of the Midianites, tens of thousands of them. But the Lord said, the people with you, there are too many of them, even though there were only 22,000. So the Midianites easily had more people than Israel did, but God was saying that Israel had too many people. And his reason is very interesting. He says, if Israel, with its 22,000 men, defeat the Midianites, then they're going to boast, saying, our own hand has saved us, and not give credit to God alone. So he told Gideon, go out among your 22,000 and say, if anyone is fearful and trembling, let him return home. And, well, actually, there were 32,000 Israelites because 20,000 of them returned home out of fear and trembling. And 10,000 still remained. But then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. So here's what I want you to do, Gideon. Take them down to the water, and I will test them. So he brought the people down to the water, and a number of them lapped the water with his tongue, like a dog laps, and you shall set them by themselves. But everyone who kneels to drink down, then they're really not very smart soldiers, because to kneel down, you got to put down your sword, whereas if you're lapping, you can still hold your sword or your spear. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth instead, was 300 men, and the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord says to Gideon, you know those 300? Who lapped? I will overcome the Midianites through them, using you, and let the others go home to his own house. And so that's what the Lord did. And then he gave directions to Gideon what to do with the 300. Go down to the camp, for I have given it into your hand. Now see, that's a promise. And Gideon had learned to believe the promises of God. And he even said to Gideon, you know, you still may be afraid. So take your servant Pura and go to the edge of the camp and listen to what the Midianites are going to be talking about. And he went down to the camp, hiding, of course, from them. And he told a Midianite telling another of his friends that he had a dream. He said, I dreamed a dream. And behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, came to the tent, struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down. The tent lay flat. And his comrade, listening to that, says, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. And as soon as Gideon overheard those two talking, he worshiped the Lord, returned to the camp, and told the people what they had to do. He divided the 300 men into three companies, 100 each, put trumpets into the hands of all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Do what I do when we come to the edge of the camp. Notice, there's nothing about taking a spear or a sword, but instead a trumpet and these empty jars with torches. He says, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, you blow your trumpets on every side of the camp and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon. So the 300 men, they went down to the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Now, Israelites divide the night into shifts of 4 hours each. The middle watch at that time Gideon and his soldiers went was from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. And they blew the trumpets, smashed the jars that were in their hands, and of course, the torches were blazing, the trumpets were blowing, they were crying out a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And every man stood in his place. That's verse 21. And all the army of the Midianites ran. And in fact, the Lord did something else, according to verse 22. When the Israelites blew the 300 trumpets and had these blazing torches, the Lord set every man's sword in the Midianite camp against his comrade and against the army, and they began to kill one another. And Gideon continued to pursue them all the way through the country of Ephraim, and he captured them, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. In other words, by this great miracle of only 300 men against a huge number of Midians, God was able to win the battle. And of course, he got the credit.
What do we learn from the story of Gideon?
What we learn is that God chooses strange ways to help his people. That's not only throughout the book of Judges, but it's beginning with Adam and Eve, Abraham. Remember Adam and Eve, there's a promise that through you will come a Savior. Abraham, you had Isaac, where many nations will be blessed. New circumcision comes in the New Testament called baptism, which saves people through the waters that God gives us. And of course, God does very many, many strange things that simply don't make any sense to the modern man or the ancient mind, such as taking a carpenter from Nazareth, who is the Son of God, God himself, putting him on a cross, and by his death, our sins are paid for, forgiven. We are not held accountable. And you wonder, how can that be? And it comes about because the Holy Spirit gives faith through the preaching of the pastors, the teaching of the Sunday school teachers, and parochial school teachers, and missionaries. As people hear the wonderful word of Christianity that shows God has a different way of saving us than us. So at the end of the word of salvation, and we recognize we have been forgiven, all credit goes to God, including the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all mentioned in the Old Testament and specifically through the New Testament. And that is the word the Sunday school teachers are to give to those students on this Sunday school lesson.
What's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is that when we hear the promises of God, they're so difficult to apprehend and comprehend that we doubt them a lot of times. We may be in illness. We may have a loved one who's died. We may have financial problems. And we cannot see into the future, so we begin to doubt God's promises. The gospel is the promises of God spoken through Jesus Christ, even from the cross, that will never not be fulfilled. In other words, God will fulfill all his promises. And the more you hear about Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, his ascension, and the coming day of judgment, the more you will be comforted here on earth by the many blessings and promises that you begin to be aware of, because that is the promise of God.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, it's part 2 of our series on the book of Exodus with Dr. Reed Lessing, author of the book Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.